It's time to read the East Valley News. Thank you for joining me. I'm your volunteer reader, Bill Carney. Today we're going to be focusing on the news of the past week from Ahwatukee and Tempe, including Sierra School may remain closed until 2026 begins. Tempe Union Board President steps down, triggering tension. Ahwatukee Lacrosse Club gearing up for new season. Goals spark Tempe Union Board debate. And Bush Group expands U.S. footprint in Tempe. Our first article from the Ahwatukee Foothills News. Sierra School may remain closed until 2026 begins, by Paul Mariniak. Kyrene de la Sierra will remain closed at least through winter break, District Superintendent Laura Tonya has announced. This means the Sierra community should be prepared to remain at Cerritos and Altadena through winter break, Tonya said in an announcement from parents August 18th. If the roof work is completed sooner and we can welcome you back before winter break, we will, stating, our priority is to confirm the campus is safe and to avoid any further disruption. Tonya said work on replacing the roof won't resume until next week, and that once construction continues, even at an expedited pace, we anticipate the project will still take several months to complete and will not be finished by fall break. The district suggested it might be bracing for litigation in the wake of the controversial roofing project that prompted the closure of Sierra Elementary School on August 12th. It posted the results of air quality tests with a statement from Superintendent Laura Tonyes that the district is consulting with the appropriate experts and will continue to share their reports and analysis on our website. At the same time the results were posted, Aaron Helm, District Executive Director of Communications and Engagement, sent a notice to news media stating the district would have no further comment and that no district or board official will be available for interviews. Kyrene does not comment on pending or potential litigation, the advisory to media stated without elaboration. The governing board on August 12th also held a closed-door executive session, stating the purpose was to consult and discuss with the attorney for the board to get legal advice regarding the district's position regarding pending or contemplated future litigation. The board was scheduled to hold a regular meeting on August 19th, and it was likely that the roofing project would dominate the meeting's public comment portion. Some parents were encouraging all Sierra parents to attend the meeting to force the district into slating a town hall. I think that every Sierra parent should go and ask questions. If you don't know what to ask, I have 100 questions I can give you to choose from, posted parent Ryan Fusenruder on a Facebook site he created called Safe Air for Kyrene Schools Roof Issues. They don't shut a school down for 6 months unless they know how bad this is and aren't being fully transparent with us, he wrote. If enough parents do show up, they will be forced to have a town hall with all parents to discuss our concerns, and maybe they can even bring an expert in as well. Fusenruder was one of the three parents who sharply criticized Kyrene officials for allowing Sierra students to continue going to class at the school for more than 2 weeks. The district on August 2nd closed Sierra initially until mid-October as a result of mounting complaints about odors from the roofing replacement, the school's first in over 3 decades. The district posted 2 reports last week related to air quality issues at the school. The first, posted August 11th, addressed questions the district said it had received about asbestos. Progressive Roofing provided Tremco product sheets showing the original roofing materials at Sierra did not contain asbestos, the district said. However, to be responsive to community concerns, Kyrene requested asbestos testing of the remaining original Sierra roof by Dominion Environmental Consultants. Progressive Roofing also conducted asbestos testing last week on the original roofing materials. The results of both Progressive and Dominion tests show no asbestos. The other report involved final results of Dominion's testing of the air inside Sierra for total volatile organic compounds, or VOCs. The Federal Environmental Protection Agency describes volatile organic compounds as compounds that have a high vapor pressure and low water solubility. Many VOCs are human-made chemicals that are used and produced in the manufacture of paints, pharmaceuticals, and refrigerants. VOCs typically are industrial solvents. It also states, VOCs are emitted as gases from certain solids or liquids. VOCs include a variety of chemicals, some of which may have short and long-term adverse health effects. Concentrations of many VOCs are consistently higher indoors, up to 10 times higher than outdoors. VOCs are emitted by a wide array of products numbering in the thousands. The report by Dr. Ryan Kuhn of Dominion Environmental Consultants said, "Consistent with our preliminary readings, the laboratory reported the high VOC levels and reported 21 compounds that are considered primary contributors to the VOCs. All compounds with published exposure limits were all well below the established exposure limits." Dominion included a detailed analysis by Enthalpy Analytical, which stated the indoor air quality level for VOCs was severe. The presence of chemicals in your indoor environment can cause a wide range of problems, from an unpleasant odor to physical symptoms, burning and irritation in the eyes, nose, and throat, headaches, nausea, nervous system effects, severe illness, etc., Enthalpy stated. Anyone with respiratory issues like asthma or allergies, as well as children, the elderly, and pregnant women, are more susceptible to poor indoor air quality than healthy individuals, Enthalpy stated. Futzenreuter posted that he is arranging to have a nationally recognized environmental exposure toxicologist to discuss the results and suggested the district should have done that. In response, board questions August 5th about why the district had not acted between July 21st and August 1st, Tonya said, "It's not uncommon at the beginning of a project that it's going to smell, and it's not uncommon for us to get a report of, hey, there's some smells." There were no complaints to administration or to the district office in July, she added, so nobody here was aware that there was even a complaint of smell. Helm also said there have been no health-related complaints. That was Sierra School may remain closed until 2026 begins. Our next article, Tempe Union Board President steps down, triggering tension, also by Paul Mariniak. A polite but tense surprise election opened the Tempe Union Governing Board meeting on August 6th after Andres Barraza resigned as president in order to focus on a run for Congress. Barraza, who will remain on the board at least through the end of this second term in December of 2026, was elected by the board to the post in January. His announcement gave way among the five-member board to a contest between Vice President Amanda Steele and former board president Armando Montero. While Montero won the day by voting for himself and getting the support of Burdetta Hodge and Nicole Gutierrez-Miller in a 3-2 decision, the election echoed one that emerged in January of 2023, when the board's composition was slightly different. Back then, Barraza seemed the likely successor to then-President Brian Garcia, now a member of the House of Representatives, who had served as president for 2 years. School board members across Arizona usually elect a president from their ranks for a year, then vote for the next senior colleague as the replacement. Barraza, who was starting his second term on the board after completing his first 4-year stint, threw his hat in the ring. Instead, Montero, a Desert Vista grad, won in a 3-2 vote, garnering national attention as the youngest school board president of a large district in the nation. He was 18 when he was elected to his first term and coasted to re-election in 2022. Montero, now a Sandra Day O'Connor School of Law student at Arizona State University after graduating in 2024 with 3 degrees, relinquished the presidency in January after 2 terms. Barraza was then elected unanimously as there were no challengers. But last week, Barraza said he was stepping back after having had fascinating conversations and requests from short projects to opportunities and to be part of the community in a very, very different way. He noted he had filed a statement of interest for run in the Democratic primary next year for the Congressional District 1 seat, currently held by Republican U.S. Representative David Schweikert. "I'm way extended on my time and is beginning to become difficult to serve in this capacity and do it justice," Barraza said. The Tempe native briefly alluded to his personal history. "There's no secret that my life has been riddled with challenges to overcome, from being a teen parent to having gone to prison for drug possession to restoring my rights to becoming a firefighter, a small business owner, and a governing board member elected by our community for 2 terms, Barraza said. "That's been an incredible honor, and it's still an incredible honor." But he added, "Because of my past, I have to take interest in consideration towards any opportunities that can shape my life." Although he has a website for his congressional campaign, it has yet to be completed. Barraza then made a pitch to be replaced by Steele, an Ahwatukee speech therapist who began her first term on the board in January of 2023, the same year Barraza started his second. But Gutierrez Miller nominated Montero, setting off an exchange among board members as to who was best qualified to lead the board for the remainder of 2025. Steele went first, saying, "I really appreciate serving on a board that really does care about our schools, our students, and our community. It's something that I am privileged to be a part of. And since day one, I came in and I have done the work. I have shown up and I have shown that I have interest in leadership and I have made relationships. I have had conversations. I have toured campuses and I have continued to be part of the conversation." Noting, the board already had served under Montero for 2 years, and it was absolutely wonderful, Steele also said. "But I think it's time for a new leader. So I would be honored and privileged if this district would recognize that I have stepped into a space where I am ready to lead with pride. I'm ready to lead with compassion. I'm ready to lead with dignity and strength. And I think that I'm a really good place to lead this district at this point. So, if you guys would vote for me, that would be wonderful. If not, then move forward." Montero followed by noting, "It was a little unorthodox to be discussing a new board leader in the middle of the calendar year," saying, "If you all want me to serve in this role, I will happily come back to the role. I think that we've done some amazing work these past 5 years since I've been on the board and would be happy to continue doing that work." Barraza then endorsed Steele again, alluding to his experience as a firefighter and calling himself a chain-of-command person and reminding his colleagues they elected Steele as vice president and suggesting she was his logical replacement. "As a firefighter, it's instilled in you that you learn from above and you mentor below, and that creates a strong organization. For me, this is a decision of chain of command. The board voted for Vice President Steele. My thoughts would be to move her into the presidency and then elect a vice president to move into a position to support her." Hodge explained her vote for Montero, stating she had spoken with teachers and principals and that they want somebody who's already had the experience to come in the middle of the year because they got to get things back on track and schools just started. Gutierrez Miller noted, "The board was about to set its own goals for the school year, and that I would like to see board member Montero help us to be able to get back in a good direction." Steele voted against Montero, telling him, "I just really hope you show up this semester, board member Montero, or soon to be president Montero." Although she did not elaborate, Barraza also voted no, adding, "I will echo the concerns of Vice President Steele." That was Tempe Union Board President Steps Down, Triggering Tension. You are listening to the East Valley News on Sun Sounds of Arizona. Did you know that if you miss a program, you can get it on demand at sunsounds.org? Then, click on the link for broadcast info and audio. Today, we're focusing on the news of the past week from Ahwatukee and Tempe. I'm Bill Carney, continuing on. Ahwatukee Lacrosse Club Geared Up for New Season by AFN News Staff. The beginning of football season is right around the corner, but girls ages 5 to 14 can look forward to a different sports season about to begin, lacrosse. Ahwatukee Lightning Ladies Lacrosse offers them a chance to play the fast action game that combines elements of basketball, soccer, and hockey. It is played with a stick called a cross, which players use to catch, carry, and throw. Michelle Kay, 8U head coach, said the club will offer a free introduction to the game, regardless of whether they have equipment or skills, at 6 p.m. on September 3rd at Pecos Park's Fields 7 and 8 next to the dog park. "Just bring water, a smile, and a few friends. We've got the rest," said Kay. She added that parents and players can swing by at 5:30 p.m. on September 3rd for a coach's meet-and-greet to ask questions and learn more about the season. Practices run Mondays and Wednesdays through November 1st, with the 8U crew practicing from 6 to 7 p.m., the 10U, 12U, and 14U squads practice from 6 to 7:30 p.m. Games are played Saturday across the valley, including Ahwatukee, Tempe, Scottsdale, Chandler, Gilbert, and even Anthem. The nonprofit offers scholarships for registration and equipment. Its fees help pay for equipment, referees, field reservations, and related expenses. Kay belongs to a lacrosse family, as her husband Andrew coaches the 14U team, and their daughters Lowen and Kaylee both play. "My two girls and I started playing lacrosse a few years ago when we joined the Ahwatukee Lightning," she says on the club's website. She recalls how they knew little about the sport when they walked in, and she walked out obsessed with it. The other coaches feel equally passionate, given that they say on the club's website. They include a Desert Vista High School junior who has played for 6 years and now coaches the 8U team with Kay. Parents can read about the coaches and get more information at ahwatukeelightningladieslacrosse.com. That was Ahwatukee Lacrosse Club gearing up for new season. Our next article, "Goals Spark Tempe Union Board Debate," by Paul Mariniak. The 2025-26 performance goals for Tempe Union Superintendent Dr. Stacia Wilson sparked a robust discussion among governing board members on August 6th over whether too much emphasis was placed on the completion rate of the application that unlocks federal financial assistance for higher education. Conversely, Board Vice President Amanda Steele wondered if another of the three proposed goals placed too much emphasis on English, math, and science state standardized tests. Both goals, Steele and Andres Barraza argued, excluded marginalized students, such as those with special needs and those coming from economically disadvantaged homes, for whom college was either unattainable or not likely part of their post-high school journey. In the long run, the board approved three goals, which Barraza and Steele voted against, that require Wilson to lead by May 2026 a minimum 5% increase in ACT test results for English, math, and science over 2024-25 results. Lead a reduction in chronic absenteeism by 3% over 2024-25 numbers. Lead improvement, the completion rates of the Free Application for Federal State Student Aid, FAFSA, the primary form students use to apply for federal financial aid to help pay for college or career school. FAFSA is free and can open doors to various financial aid programs, including grants, loans, and work-study opportunities from the federal government, states, and individual colleges. Completing the FAFSA across Arizona has been a major goal of many education advocates and nonprofits, particularly because the state ranks near the bottom nationally. Wilson said that while Tempe Union actually has a really great attendance rate with its students, it is higher than it was pre-pandemic for some subgroups of students, and that the same issue applied to FAFSA completions. "We really saw some big growth and improvements in some of our schools," Wilson said. "And now what we want to do is make that district-wide across all six of our campuses. We know that when we have more students completing those, that you really unlock opportunities for more students. And so we want to do that so that they look at those post-secondary experiences. We expand that and that those opportunities go for all students. Steele and Barraza argued for replacing the absenteeism goal with one that emphasized college and career readiness rates. Steele argued that pushing FAFSA completion opened the door to students securing huge loans to go to college that would burden them long after they've graduated. She wanted to know if completing a FAFSA also involved teaching students the detriment that can come if you don't pay off to don't understand how to pay off your student loans. Chief Academic Officer Dr. Maja Alexic said that the district gets help from the State Department of Education and many universities and local businesses in focusing on the importance of FAFSA completion, not only for college-bound students, but those entering post-high school vocational training. It's also post-secondary advising, Alexic said. It's called making a plan for success. But Barraza said that an emphasis on college and career readiness rather than FAFSA completion rates feels more of a superintendent or administrative goal. As someone that is like very focused on career and technical education, FAFSA wouldn't do anything for me, he said. I'll complete it, but it wasn't the route I wanted to go. I came into construction, building trades, industries where you have to utilize problem-solving skills in a work environment. He also expressed concern that 30% of all global occupations are going to disappear in 5 years as a result of the jobs replacement by artificial intelligence. So for me, CTE, teaching students robotics programming, getting them certification in the trades, first responder certifications, are a way of creating a path. It doesn't mean they're not going to go to school or college. I know a lot of students that, including myself, college came later. Board member Burdetta Hodge returned to Wilson's point, noting that FAFSA actually helps students to get into the apprenticeship programs at a faster rate. She said keeping it as a goal for Wilson allows the district to continue receiving funding for programs that don't just work with kids getting into college, but also help students get training for jobs. That prompted Wilson to suggest that the district may need to do a better outreach to the community to teach parents, guardians, and students about the broader impact of FAFSA and how it unlocks opportunities across the board. But Steele argued against both the ACT and FAFSA goals. On ACT test, she noted the board had focused on historically marginalized populations and said, these tests do not test those students accurately. Those marginalized students include those with disabilities, she said, adding, they're not going to take FAFSA as well. I do not support all these goals that do not help our historically marginalized populations, Steele said. I'm going to go back to saying career and college readiness is a good goal. Steele went on to assert that ACT tests are biased. They were literally created to keep marginalized students out of college, she said, adding that FAFSA was no different while the board eventually approved her goals for her originally presented. Wilson assured Steele the broader goal of career readiness continues to be important. It continues to be a focus of our administration team meetings, she said. It continues to be a focus on our campuses. It continues to be a part of our monitoring calendar and bringing you that information. So please don't think that because it was not part of my performance goals that it's not a focus. That was Goals Spark Tempe Union Board Debate. We go now to the Tempe Newsroom. Bush Group expands U.S. footprint in Tempe. Bush Vacuum Solutions, part of the Bush Group, a global leader in vacuum and overpressure technology, announced the development of its newest U.S. facility, an almost 60,000-square-foot Arizona service center located in Tempe. The state-of-the-art facility is scheduled to open in October of 2025. This strategic expansion underscores Bush's continued investment in innovation, customer service, and regional growth across North America. The new Tempe facility will serve as a key regional hub, specializing in the repair, service, and overhaul of vacuum pumps, vacuum systems, and overpressure equipment, including turbo molecular pumps, leak detectors, valves, and accessories, supporting all major brands. Designed to meet the growing demands of the region, the Tempe Service Center will provide faster turnaround times, expert support, and more efficient service delivery tailored to the unique operational needs of customers in the Southwest and across the U.S. This expanded capability brings greater flexibility, technical expertise, and responsiveness to customers across the semiconductor, industrial, medical, and environmental sectors. We're excited to welcome Busch Vacuum Solutions, a global leader in advanced manufacturing, to Tempe. Their decision to invest here speaks to the strength of Arizona's semiconductor ecosystem, diversity of thriving industries located here, and the spirit of innovation that defines our community. The new Tempe Service Center will create skilled employment opportunities, strengthen business partnerships, and keep Tempe at the forefront of high-tech growth and excellence. We are grateful to Busch Group for selecting Tempe as a location for its Southwest Service Hub and look forward to supporting their continued success, said Tempe Mayor Corey Woods. This investment represents more than just added square footage. It's about proximity, partnership, and performance, said Turgay Ozan, President and CEO, Busch Group USA. With the launch of our Tempe location, we're better positioned to deliver unmatched value to customers who rely on advanced vacuum technologies in high-performance environments. With more than 8,000 employees globally and over 1,200 in the U.S., Busch continues to expand its network of facilities to support mission-critical operations across a diverse range of industries. In addition to semiconductor and industrial markets, Busch's vacuum technology supports automotive, food and beverage, packaging, metallurgy, pharmaceuticals, plastics, and large-scale distribution. These capabilities enable more localized production and increase operational resilience across essential supply chains. About the Busch Group. The Busch Group is one of the world's largest manufacturers of vacuum pumps, vacuum systems, blowers, compressors, and gas abatement systems. Under its umbrella, the group houses two well-known brands, Busch Vacuum Solutions and Pfeiffer Vacuum and Fab Solutions. That was Busch Group Expands U.S. Footprint in Tempe. Thank you for joining me today for the East Valley News for Ahwatukee and Tempe. I'm your volunteer reader, Bill Carney. Stay tuned for the Arizona Republic, coming up next on Sun Sounds of Arizona.